Well, it's holiday weekend, isn't it? I'm glad to be with you. Our gospel reading today, you might have noticed, skips a few verses. Let me tell you a little bit about what's in those four verses that the lectionary leaves out. And I'm such in the habit of using the lectionary that I let that ride. But those four verses talk about several cities that Jesus has visited or will visit. He talks about Tyre and Sidon, which are Gentile cities, and Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, which has kind of been Jesus' home base. He talks about those Jewish cities as well. That's the part that's left out. And he's concerned about all those cities. They come across as woes, and scholars call them woes. He kind of says, if you don't receive my followers, unhappy things might happen to you. And those are the woes. But he also goes out of his way to say that God longs to be part of those cities. So that's the part that's left out. Here's the part that the lectionary includes. Will you pray with me? God of love, may your Holy Spirit lead and guide and direct us as we read this scripture together. May it inspire us, may it startle us, may it motivate us. In Jesus' name, amen. So from Luke 10, the first 11 verses, and then verse 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of our Lord. So, what a challenging text. A good text, an interesting text, but it presents us with some challenges. This is not the first time that Jesus has sent his disciples out, but this is the biggest group he sends out, 70 people in pairs of two. He commissions these followers to go out into communities, and he has a message, and that's kind of a new concept for Judaism. Judaism accepts converts at this point in history, but they don't go out into Gentile communities looking for converts. If someone comes to them and says, "I love the God of Israel and I want to become a Jew," then Judaism accepts them. But they don't really go looking for converts the way that Christianity has come to do in this, particularly in our time and country. And he sends out 70. That's one of the first things we notice when we look at this text together, that number 70. How many days did it take God to create the world? Seven. Seven is the number of completion. It's considered the number of perfection. And so Jesus sends out perfection times 10. That's a lot of perfection. That's a big, nice, round number, and it's really a complete group. I think that's what Luke is trying to tell us with that number 70. It's a complete group. It's the right group. And so Jesus expects results from 70 people. And he considers his laborers for his harvest maybe a small group, but it's a sufficient group. Small is not bad. Small can be sufficient. Small can keep it simple. It doesn't take a lot of baggage for that size group. And then Jesus gives them a number of things to consider. The message here, what he says for his followers to preach to others, isn't much of a sermon. He says, place peace on the house. Say peace to the house. That's a traditional Jewish tradition. When you enter someone's home, you would say shalom. And shalom is more than just peace in the sense of no disharmony. Shalom is a big concept in Judaism. It's a concept that you will have enough food on your table, you'll have enough clothes to wear, you'll have a roof over your head, you'll have fruit on your vines. Peace is a well-rounded life lived without conflict with your neighbors and without conflict with your God. So it's a big concept. When Jesus sends his followers out into these communities, both Jewish and Gentile communities, their first word to that community is to be shalom, peace. May you have what you need and a little more to share, and may you be at peace with your neighbors and with God. That's a big concept. And then he gives them one more thing to say, and that is the kingdom of God is near. It's not something that happened way in the past. It's not something that will happen sometime far in the future. The kingdom of God is near. And you're a part of it, and God wants you to be a part of it. It's not condemnation. It's not a pat on the back either. But it's the promise that God is near, that God desires to be involved in this community. God desires to be involved in your life. God desires to be part of the world that God created and loves so dearly. So the words that Jesus gives to his messengers are performative. They do what they say. The kingdom of God advances and draws near. The kingdom of God will always be near to you. You can receive that message. You can reject it. You can ignore it. But the message doesn't change. The message will always be for that generation, for our generation. The kingdom of God is near. And that's really good news. It's noteworthy in a society where consumers and their responses provide the ultimate measure of truth. You know, that's kind of how it works in our world. Movie makers will gather in people to test the endings of their movies and see if they like the ironic ending better, if they like the happily ever after ending better, and that's how they'll decide how their movie ends. So faced with some occasional empty seats in the church naturally feels this temptation to select another ending, to tailor the message to whatever they think will fill the seats in the sanctuary. But the new improved message doesn't work. The kingdom of God is near, is the message that we have been given. That promise of shalom, that promise that God's compassionate presence will always be with us, that is our message. So as we read on through this passage in Luke, Luke might be read as suggesting that the authority given the disciples is the power to enter a village and tell them what is what. We have the truth. We have the power. we will share it with you because we're good folks. But that's not how the kingdom of God works. It's not authority that Jesus gave those disciples, those messengers. What really speaks to new people is authenticity, and authenticity whose source is Christ. In the midst of those to whom we are sent, can we be authentic? That invitation is found again in this passage as we see Jesus call people to the table. What does he ask these people to do? He says, go into the house, eat whatever they give you, and be with them, and heal them if they need healing. But what he's saying is, sit at table with people. Get to know people. And it's so important to him that he says it twice. He calls them to sit at the table twice in this scripture, to eat whatever is put in front of them. Now that is a big request. If you're sending out 70 people who've grown up thinking pork is offensive to God, and they go into a Gentile city and they're served pork, which may or may not happen because meat's kind of a special occasion food, but he's asking them to do something new. He's asking them not just to give up some regulations. What he's asking them to do is to have relationship. What he's asking them to do is listen. Listen to the people that I have sent you to. That's almost upside down for us. We think we're supposed to talk to people. But in this passage, Jesus is asking us to listen to people, learn from other people. Jesus is asking us to honor other people, to respect their customs, to open our minds to what that we might have to learn from other people. So twice Jesus says to them, eat whatever's put in front of you. And do remember, he's sending them into Gentile cities as well as Jewish cities. So I had a dear friend in seminary who was pastor of Holy Temple Baptist Church in downtown Oklahoma City. He pastored that church for many, many years. That is a historically black congregation. He's African American. He is the finest preacher I've ever heard. He was just a tremendous source of inspiration in my life when I was in seminary. And so one day, we took a lot of classes together. We were in the same group, the same comedy group. So one day in class, they were talking about mission, and talking about building relationships, and they were talking about race. And so I listened to a couple of other pastors, student pastors, we were all student pastors at that point, talk about, I'm taking my youth group to Atlanta, and we're going to help a black church, repaint their fellowship hall, we're going to help a black church do this mission project or that mission project. So I listened to two other student pastors talk about, one was going to Atlanta, taking his church to Atlanta for a mission trip, and the other one was also taking their church maybe to Dallas to help an African-American church in Dallas. And I was kind of watching my dear friend's face, who's pastor of the black church in Oklahoma City, and I could tell something was not making him happy. And at one moment, he stood up and said, I'm so happy that you want to have relationships with African-American people. I'm so happy you want to do that, that you want to build relationships. But let me ask you one question. Why are you driving 1,000 miles past my congregation and building relationships with people 1,000 miles away? Why won't you build relationships with my church in Oklahoma City? And then he paused and he said, I think it's because we would have to be in relationship day after day after day. You don't get to come home and forget about me. That's where we need to be building relationships with our neighbors next door. So Jesus sends these 70 people out to build relationships, to learn from one another, to learn from the people they serve, to be good listeners, to learn about customs, to learn about culture, to learn about needs, to learn about how they might make a real difference in the world. He sends them out to have table fellowship, to sit around the table together and listen and learn, to listen more than to speak, and never, never to condemn. They're to speak the good news. And that good news is the kingdom of God is near. And we're part of it. Thanks be to God.